From Spark and Anvil and Dialogue Quest, this is Kernel and Reprise in Chapter 1 of the Dialogue Quest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. In the dialogue workshop, Kernel worked at the front of a scene, tucking little lines into corners where nobody would look twice. "Watch this one," Kernel whispered, sliding a plain sentence into a character's mouth on page 2. "My dad always said, measure twice. See? Ordinary. Sounds like nothing. A reader's eye slides right past it." The apprentice squinted. "Then why write it at all?" "Because I'm not writing it for page 2," said Kernel. "I'm writing it for page 40. At the back of the room, Reprise was reading ahead, all the way to page 40, waiting. "That's where I come in," Reprise said. "Kernel plants the seed and walks away. I'm the one who brings it back at the exact right moment, after everything's changed. Same words, whole new weight." "Same words?" said the apprentice. "Almost always the same words," said Reprise. "That's the trick. The reader hears the line again and thinks, oh, I've heard that before. And all at once, page 2 and page 40 snap together."
Reprise liked to say that they and Kernel were really one move split across a lot of pages. A callback, Reprise explained, is two halves. There's the plant, that's Kernel, dropping the line early, quietly, so it feels like scenery. And there's the payoff, that's me, bringing it back later so it lands like a punch, or a hug, or a heartbreak. The apprentice frowned. "Couldn't you just write the good line once at the end?" "You could," said Kernel, "and it would be fine, but it wouldn't ring." They picked up a small bell and tapped it once, a thin, plain sound. That's the line alone at the end. Then they tapped it, waited, and tapped it again, and the second ring hummed against the memory of the first. That's the callback. The second one only sounds like that because you heard the first. "So the first line is a little boring on purpose," the apprentice said slowly. "Boring on purpose," Kernel agreed, delighted. "The plant has to hide. If it announces itself, remember this, it'll be important. The reader braces, and the payoff can't surprise them. My whole job is to be forgettable."
A worried young writer came with a page. "I tried a callback, and it didn't work. I planted a line, brought it back, and my readers said, huh. They didn't remember it at all." Kernel and Reprise read the page together.
"Ah," said Kernel gently. "Your plant was too quiet. Look, you buried it in the middle of a huge speech in a boring moment. Even forgettable lines need to be heard once. Put it somewhere the reader is actually paying attention. End of a scene, a beat of quiet, so it lands softly instead of vanishing." "And," said Reprise, "your payoff came back word for word, but nothing had changed in between. A callback lands because the line means something new now. The first time, measure twice, was a dad's fussy advice. The 40th time, after the character rushed and ruined everything, those same three words break your heart, because now they're regret." The young writer's eyes widened. "So the words stay the same, but the reader changed. The story happened to them in between."
"That's the whole thing," said Reprise. "I don't change the line. I change everything around it, and then I hand the same line back."
The young writer tried again, right there. They wrote a girl saying, early and lightly, "I'll race you to the gate." Then, 40 pages later, after the two friends had fought and drifted and almost lost each other, one of them says it again, quiet, at the hospital door. "I'll race you to the gate." Kernel read it and went still. Reprise read it and pressed a hand to their chest. "That," said Reprise softly, "is it. Same six words. But now they mean, I still love you. I never stopped. Let's go back to who we were." You didn't write that meaning down anywhere. You planted it and let the reader grow it.
I barely wrote anything, the young writer said, amazed.
The first line was so small.
The first line is always small, said Colonel.
That's me. I go first, and I go quiet. And I trust that somebody's coming back for what I left.
When the workshop had emptied, Colonel and Reprise sat with the little bell between them.
I spent a long time feeling invisible, Colonel admitted. I drop lines nobody claps for. On page 2, my work looks like nothing. Filler, throat clearing, a dad being fussy. Nobody ever thanks the plant. They turned the bell over in their hands. For a while, I wondered if I even mattered.
You're the reason I land at all, said Reprise. I get the gasp. I get the tears at page 40. But every single one of those, every gasp, is yours, from 38 pages back, waiting. I'm just the echo. You're the sound that makes the echo possible.
Colonel was quiet, holding the little bell, thinking about all the plain lines they'd tucked into corners and left behind, and how not one of them had really been lost, only waiting for Reprise to come back and ring them a second time. And the old invisible feeling, the small ache of going first and unthanked, eased at last into something warm and steady. The quiet gladness of knowing that the quietest thing they ever planted was the very thing that would, one day, land the hardest.
I go first, Colonel said softly. And I bring you home, said Reprise, and tapped the bell. Once, and then, after a breath, once more.